We've reached week five of the Premier League season and the defending champions are the only team left with a 100% record. It's the Merseyside derby though this weekend. Can Everton halt Liverpool's progress? There's also a huge game at the Emirates to look forward to as Arsenal and Manchester City do battle. We've got it all covered on this week's edition of The Assist. The Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst and I'm joined this week by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to talk us through their thoughts and tips for this weekend's Premier League and EFL action. Mark, firstly, we should explain that you're out in sunny Lisbon at the moment and that is your hotel room and you've been keeping a close eye on the Champions League whilst you've been out there.
Yeah, still been managing to watch the football, Warren, but it's a long old week. SBC Lisbon, you know, thousands of people here for the sort of betting and gaming exhibition. But you know, I've made sure that I've been hydrated in the bars to watch the football of an evening.
Yeah, and I understand that you were watching Liverpool Atletico Madrid last night. Some game and yet another late win for Liverpool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think they deserve to win. You know, the goal came late, but probably should have been out of sight before it even reached that point, really. But yeah, even when it went to 2-2, just something at the moment about Liverpool that you just feel like there's still enough time for them to go and get a winning goal. So probably I'd say I've been more disappointed with them in the Premier League performances. I actually thought they played well against Atletico, deserved to win, albeit the goal was late.
And Dan, just before we get into this weekend's action, I know you were keeping a close eye on Bayern Munich against Chelsea. What did you make of Chelsea's display?
I thought they played pretty well with the ball, created, you know, some good chances, scored one goal, very, very close offside call, you know, towards the end. Cole Palmer could have had another one. But I think defensively would be my worry against a real top team. I just think that they're a bit of a lack of experience there at the backs, kind of finding them out. I mean, we saw it a little bit in the game against Brentford when they gave up quite a few chances and conceded two goals. And that would be my worry for them going forward into the season.
Okay, well, no fewer than six of the Premier League teams, of course, are in Champions League action this week. I wonder how that will impact on the Premier League action at the weekend. And we'll start off with order of importance, of course, with the big clash at the Emirates on Sunday, a 4:30 kickoff for Arsenal against Manchester City. The Gunners are 10-11 to claim the 3 points. It's 27-10 City and 14-5 the draw. Mark, we'll start with you with this one. This is, of course, being recorded before Manchester City's Thursday night Champions League action, but Arsenal gaining that victory in Athletic Bilbao, giving them a little bit of a boost ahead of the weekend. But are you slightly surprised by the prices going into this?
No, I think that Arsenal probably deserve to be a shade of odds on to win the game. I think it's always eye-catching when you see City, available at as quite big underdogs, or relatively speaking. But you know, I fancied City to win the league at the start of the season. My concern for them though was just whether they had the consistency to do it, because I think when you get a new team, you do just get patchy runs, because Guardiola, what's this, probably his third team that he's trying to build. So this is probably a big game for them early in that kind of, this new reset. So I think Arsenal deserve their sort of status as marginal odds on favourites. They've got such depth to their squad, and we saw that in Bilbao, when a couple of subs came on and can make the difference. Still not entirely convinced though, just about their killer instinct and whether they really go on and win enough of these huge matches. They're better at home than they are away, which is quite logical, I suppose, because it's easier to win the home games. But if they are to win, and I won't give the bet away just yet, but I think it might be sort of an edgy grind. Arteta and Guardiola know each other inside out, so could be a hard watch this one, despite it being between two of the top three teams in the land.
And do you take into account the extra day's preparation for Arsenal, bearing in mind, of course, they played on Tuesday and City playing on Thursday?
Yeah, extra couple of days. I mean, that's definitely an improvement for them there. It improves their chances. But I don't know. I mean, Man City, I think if Man City had been playing away, having to travel back would have been a bit more of an issue this early in the season. You wouldn't think, that there would be too many, fatigue issues there. They've got a pretty strong squad, Manchester City as well. I'm sure that, the starting lineup on Thursday will probably be, slightly different to what we see on the Sunday. So no, I think it's a, I think it's, I agree with Mark. It's pretty possibly, I mean, it's a massive game for both teams, but I would argue it's maybe a little bit bigger for City at the moment. They've already lost two matches. If they go to Arsenal and lose as well, you're already, it's starting to get a bit of a gap between them and Arsenal and, and them and Liverpool. So a bigger game for City, I think, not to lose.
Noticed that Saliba, Mark, was back on the bench for Arsenal in midweek, and with how well Haaland's playing at the moment, as you've alluded to a little bit there, is that there is a chance that this could be a bit cagey because they'll be wary that, him banging in the goals at this stage, Arsenal will want to try and keep him at arm's length.
Yeah, I mean, Haaland has started the season really well. He looks sharp. He's all-round play. I think even some of the sort of through balls we've seen in a couple of the matches against Man United and Tottenham, he's been provider and just not he, sort of the other players haven't managed to put the ball away. So he's looking sharp. Look, even if Saliba's not 100%, like that Arsenal collective, the fullbacks, are almost centre backs themselves. Gabriel, very physical defender, seems him and Haaland have got a bit of a thing going, haven't they? I mean, it can get quite tetchy between those two. Like, I mean, Arsenal's defence is just absolutely phenomenal. Part of that is because of the way that they play, and they don't take as many risks as some other teams, and they get good protection from the midfield. But Haaland's not going to get the same sort of space that he got against United, that's for sure.
Before we go to Dan for his bet here, Mark, what are you looking at then as the best bet?
Yeah, I'm going under 2.5 goals. There have been some blowouts between sort of Arsenal and City, and you only got to go back to last season for Arsenal absolutely thrashed City at the Emirates. But City were not in a good place at that time. I just think their spine is very strong. Donnarumma, then you've got Diaz and Guardiola, who's just come back from injury, Rodri and Haaland. So I can see them going there and actually not being as ambitious as what they might have been, say, 2, 3, 4 years ago. I think they'll look to, come back with a point. Whether they're good enough or not over the 90 minutes, I think remains to be seen. But if Arsenal were to get the win, I think it might be a real grind, as I mentioned earlier. So under 2.5 goals at around about evens.
And I think we said something similar for when Arsenal went to Anfield to face Liverpool. At this early stage of the season, it's almost like you'd rather not lose rather than going all out for a win. Is that fair?
That for me, Warren. Yeah, I think that's where I'm looking, really. I'm going to go with a draw. As Mark's mentioned there, he sees it being a tight game, quite low scoring. I mean, when you look at the draw price, it's not far off 3-1 in a game that neither team is really going to be, they might be more worried about of avoiding defeat than really pushing for the win, especially if it's level going into the last 20 minutes. I don't see either side chucking, throwing caution to the wind, if you like. And I think City, it's to have the Manchester derby in the last Premier League game before it, to get that win and the manner of it. They were getting a few players back as well in the attacking side, Foden and Savinho coming back into the squad, a few more options there. And they are looking more solid. And Donnarumma, I think, makes a massive difference. I mean, James Trafford's a very good keeper, but I just felt it was a little bit frantic there, and it wasn't filling the defence in front of him with a great deal of confidence. I think to bring in a keeper of that stature just helps massively and provides the leadership that City are going to need in these big games just in the nick of time. So I think City will go there and get a point.
Yeah, unbelievable save from Donnarumma to deny Brian and Mbeumo last week in a derby clash. So that is Mark and Dan's thoughts on the big one, Arsenal against Manchester City. Just a reminder, a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. I should point out at this stage, by the way, and talk up the performance of James Milton last week, who He got 9 out of 10 selections correct on the assist. His reward has been to be dropped to the substitutes bench this week. So no pressure on the guys as we look ahead now to the Merseyside derby, which is at 12:30 on Saturday. Liverpool, as I say, the only 100% record in the league still at the moment. 9-20 are the Reds to claim the victory. It's 11-2 Everton and 15-4 the draw. Dan, we'll start with you. I watched the Everton game with Villa last week. They should have won that match, to be honest with you. I think Villa were very disappointing, especially in the second half. It's going to be a real test, though, of how far Everton have come under David Moyes this trip to Anfield.
Yeah, I still think it's pretty tricky to sort of judge Everton. You know, looking at their games, the Leeds away game, you know, was a difficult atmosphere. They didn't play that great on that occasion. Got the win at Wolves, who, as we know, are pointless at the moment. Beat Brighton, and they weren't amazing, really, Everton, in that game. And the Villa match is probably the best they've played, even though it was a draw. But how much of that is down to the fact that Villa have been absolutely awful and are devoid of confidence at the moment? So it's a tricky one. I think they'll, you know, at Liverpool, they're just going to go and look to soak things up, aren't they, and rely on counter-attacks and set pieces. They got that dramatic 2-2 draw, didn't they, at home to the last game at Goodison last season. It caused a lot of controversy after the final whistle. But games at Anfield, they haven't even scored in the last four visits. I don't see them creating many chances here. Liverpool seem to be gradually getting better, but I agree with Mark, their Premier League performances haven't been that great. Stepped it up a little bit against Atletico in the Champions League, and they're going to get better, I think, which is a bit of a worry for the others, considering they still haven't dropped any points yet. I think they'll win again, but fairly low scoring. Everton under Moyes are always tough to break down, so I'm going to play it quite safe on that front. I'm going to go Liverpool and under 4.5 goals, which is a shade of odds on.
Isak didn't get a run out at Burnley last week, Mark, but he did make his debut in midweek against Atletico and looked pretty lively, I have to say, for a few question marks flying around about his fitness, but he managed to last around about an hour and looked the part.
Yeah, very sharp. You know, linked the play, you know, well. There wasn't much space in behind, you know, Atletico, and not Atletico don't leave huge gaps for you to run into, and I doubt that Everton will either. But I think that Liverpool have missed that sort of penalty box presence. I think Ekitike, you know, he's going to be a top player. I've absolutely no doubts about that. But there's still question marks as to what he is. Is he sort of a wide player? Is he a forward? And if he is a centre forward, is he someone that's going to be sort of getting those tap-ins? And I think Isak just is that player that he can sort of do everything, really, which is why you know, they've paid such a huge fee for him. This will be a difficult game against Everton, and whether he's able to back it up, having played 60 minutes, like you say, on Wednesday night, then this is the early Saturday kickoff, probably not an ideal turnaround before a Merseyside derby. I'm going to be slightly more adventurous than Dan, but I have got a very similar bet. I'm going for Liverpool to win an under 3.5 goals. There have been only 13 goals in the last 7 Merseyside derbies. So they tend to be frantic and not particularly great watches.
OK, well, we're going to move on next to the game at Old Trafford. It's a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday as Manchester United play host to Chelsea. United 17-10 to claim the victory. It's 11-8 Chelsea and 14-5 the draw. Still some murmurings at the moment, Mark, that, you know, if Manchester United were to lose this game, and with another international break coming up very shortly, could we be seeing the end of Ruben Amorim in the near future?
Well, It does just, I think I might have mentioned this before, but it does just remind me of that Mick McCarthy meme where you just, you know, says it can't get any worse, can it, Mick? And he just says it can. Because it just seems to get worse. And you know, every week. And there is absolutely no sign of significant improvement. You know, even the Burnley win was, you know, last minute and not particularly controlled, and you know, celebrating that like they just won a World Cup final, and it's Burnley at home. Again, it should be a comfortable enough 3 points, and it just wasn't. And you are just left with wondering, where's the faith in sticking with this? Because even Erik ten Hag, who had a lot of doubters, and you know, that they were right, he could at least point to the fact that he'd won an FA Cup, and in the cup final they played well against Manchester City, and so you could go, right, well, that's what we're building towards on a more consistent basis. Mourinho had moments, Solskjaer had moments. I just haven't, Louis van Gaal did as well. Just haven't seen anything really from Amorim to suggest that there's any kind of consistency in their performance or results. And at some stage, you have to sort of pull the plug on that. The problem is, they've spent an absolute fortune bringing in the players he wants to play, a certain way, and not that many managers play that formation. I mean, in terms of sort of, top level, what, Glasner plays back three. I mean, even Conte's moved away from it, for a lot of last season when Napoli won the league. So they really are stuck, I think, at the moment. But yeah, they cannot let it get too much worse, because you can't be writing a season off in October, and that's what they're potentially doing, given there's no Europe and they're already out of the League Cup. So I think this is a massive game for Amorim, to try to get the win. But I mean, there's just nothing to suggest that they're going to do it.
I mean, before we come to you, Dan, and your thoughts, Mark, just a quick word on whether this might work better for United if they were at Chelsea. Because you feel like Chelsea, are not the same team at Stamford Bridge, because the expectation and they're finding it hard to break teams down. But away from home, this might work well for them.
Well, yeah, I think that Chelsea are a team that, prefer to play not counter attack, but they don't like it when, teams sort of play with that sort of back four and then five in front, or 5-4-1, and they just struggle with that. I think it's because they haven't got that Isak type sort of centre forward that we were speaking about earlier. But I mean, if I'm Manchester United and I'm Amorim, I'm probably almost trying to play this like an away game anyway, because they are pretty defensive. I think the formation just like leaves them short in midfield, and like they end up with a back five and they can't get up and support the attackers. And I'm not sure playing at home suits United either, because if they go behind, I mean, surely the crowd will turn. They've been really patient, but I don't know how much more they can put up with.
No, Dan, I'm struggling to remember a time where a group of managers, as Manchester United have had over the last kind of 2 or 3 years, maybe a bit beyond that as well, have just stuck so rigidly to just a formation that they will not change, and ultimately is surely going to end with the sack.
Yeah, and I don't see it as a strength, to be honest. I think the best managers are able and willing to change, formations and setups when the need arises. You're going to get injuries and suspensions and just and sometimes you just need a different look depending on who the opposition are as well. You get a certain opposition that it's a benefit if you can kind of change the way that you play. And I just think that it's really weak to say this is the only way that we play. And I even have my doubts, when I watch him in interviews. I'm not even sure he believes that he can turn it around. And if that's if you're looking at it that way, you think about the players in the dressing room. If the manager doesn't seem that convinced, then what's going to be going through the minds of the players? I go back to the Grimsby game where in a League Cup shootout, when he's sort of like he can't even watch, the penalties taking place. To me, if you're looking at that as a player, that's not what you're after as a leader on your bench. And I don't see it improving. I think he'll go at some point.
Yeah, not a good sign when opposition fans are actually having a little bit of sympathy with a manager of an opposing team. Mark, what's your best bet then for this game? 5:30 Saturday, United against Chelsea.
I'm going for Cole Palmer to score. He's not Cold Palmer anymore, is he? He got the goal against Brentford, got the goal against Bayern. He was only on for was half an hour against Brentford and had five shots. And United don't track midfield runners. They just can't do it. And that's a big problem when Cole Palmer is in the opposition, because he's one of the best at finding space sort of on that penalty sort of area, edge of the area. It's been a big problem for United. Just one last thing on United. One of the big problems is that because everybody knows how they're going to play every single week, like it's quite easy for the opposition managers to plan for it. So it's bizarre that you've only got one way of playing. But Dan, I know you fancy Chelsea as well.
Yeah, I just 11-8. I mean, that's I don't think there's a fear factor going to Old Trafford. There hasn't been for a while, has there? And I think these games, if you want to still call it a big game, and it is still a big game. Two massive clubs are often one in midfield as well. When I look at the United, have spent a lot of money on upgrading their trying to upgrade their attack, but their midfield is just not fit for purpose at the moment, especially in this system. When you play, you know, you're asking Fernandes to play there in a two. Now, in a game like this, he may be pushed further on. But to be honest, I don't think Fernandes is suited wherever he plays in this system anyway. And he's kind of Man United's best player. So that's a major issue for them. You're up against a Chelsea midfield that, for me, is that's one of their real strong points. Fernandes, Caicedo, Cole Palmer, you know, pushing on from that area. And Chelsea, I'm not totally convinced with Chelsea at the back, as I mentioned earlier, but I think their midfield is way, way ahead of United's, and that'll help them win the game. Chelsea to win for me.
Yeah, I don't think Cole Palmer got enough credit for that brilliant finish against Brentford last week. It really was sublime having come off the bench. So, more problems potentially for Ruben Amorim. We're going to turn our attentions now to the Vitality Stadium because Bournemouth against Newcastle is one of the early kickoffs at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And if you said that one of these two teams would be sat in the top four at this stage, you probably would have been forgiven for thinking it was Newcastle. But Bournemouth are in fourth spot at the moment. They're 29 to 20 to claim the victory on Sunday. It's 9-5 Newcastle and 5-2 the draw. Just got to be plaudits down really for Andoni Iraola because he just continues to, you know, dumbfound people with how he's managed to, you know, get this Bournemouth team playing the way they are, and especially having lost the key players he did in the summer.
He deserves a lot of credit, and I have to say that you've got to give Bournemouth credit for their recruitment as well. We often talk about Brighton, how well they recruit. Well, Bournemouth's recruitment as well is fantastic. You've got to have a good manager, but you also need to have the tools to work with, and they seem to be a step ahead, don't they, with their recruitment. So, as you say, to lose three of your back foot starting back four and your goalkeeper, and then after the game at Liverpool, which is really tough away from home, they conceded four goals there. But then, since then, they've only conceded one goal in the three games, gave up hardly any chances in a, you know, really strong 1-0 win away to Spurs, who haven't dropped any points in any other games. And the Brighton win, they were well, you know, thoroughly deserved that 2-1 victory. I just think I'm going to go for them here. I think, you know, shade of odds on draw no bet for Bournemouth, I think, is a really good bet. I think Newcastle are starting to improve. They will improve as the season goes on once they get the Isak situation out of the system. But at the moment, the only win they've had is a 1-0 at home to Wolves, who haven't got a point yet. And they've got the massive distraction of this Champions League match as well at home to Barcelona. So that's a huge boost, you know, from Bournemouth's point of view, to be fully focused, you know, on going into the game. And yeah, I think they're overpriced. Bournemouth on the draw, no bet for me.
Just to back up Dan's thoughts there, Mark. No Anthony Gordon out through suspension. Johan Visser injured. Looks like he could be out for another 4 or 5 weeks. Valtomada did look good, I have to say, I thought, on his debut against Wolves last week. But, you know, Bournemouth will go into this full of confidence.
Saw them sort of beat Tottenham 1-0, and it was a 1-0 battering. They were fantastic, and I really after timing here, but you'll have to believe me when I wasn't surprised at all that they then followed it up against Brighton. You know, they really caught the eye. I'm going for them to beat Newcastle in this game. I think the emotion for Newcastle playing Barcelona on Thursday, such a big game. Do you remember when they played Paris Saint-Germain and Dan Burn was celebrating slide tackles and stuff like that? Like, I think, you know, it's a huge occasion. And then going to the Vitality, it's just different, isn't it? And you know, I think Newcastle won't be able to play, you know, the same 11, or certainly with the same sort of intensity that they're going to be required against Barca on Thursday. So a good spot for Bournemouth. And here's a question, Warren. I'll throw it out to you, and maybe for the comments on YouTube. If Amorim got sacked this weekend, and Bournemouth and they went for Iraola, would he take the Manchester United job?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of people out there suggesting he'd be daft to do that, bearing in mind what there is still to do at Old Trafford to turn it around. But it's an interesting thought, and certainly, you know, with the job that he's done at Bournemouth, there will be, no disrespect to the Cherries, but bigger clubs looking at potentially taking him, I think, down the line. And a victory against Newcastle on Sunday would certainly add to his CV. We're going to stick with Sunday fixtures now, because up next on the agenda is likely to be a full house at the Stadium of Light at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And Sunderland, looking down on Newcastle in the table at the moment, will play host to Aston Villa, who are still without a win. Sunderland 12-5 to claim the victory. It's 11-10 Villa and 5-2 the draw. Can you put your finger mark on what's going wrong at Villa at the moment?
No goals in the league is definitely a problem. They've only generated an expected goals of 2.9 as well. So while they've left a bit on the table, it's not like they've been creating chances. So sort of chance creation is down. Morgan Rogers, such a big player for them last season, hasn't started the season well. Ollie Watkins, you know, there was murmurs in the summer that maybe he would leave. I don't know, he just hasn't seen himself either. They've had the problem in goal where they've used a couple of different goalkeepers already this season. You know, they weren't sure whether Emi Martinez was staying or not. It's just all really flat at Aston Villa at the moment. And like then going out of the League Cup as well, I'm going to go for Sunderland or draw double chance in this game. I'm not mad on Sunderland, but they have started well, as you say, particularly at the Stadium of Light, a very physical team. And like lack of confidence for Villa, you know, it just feels like any win's going to be a struggle for them at the moment.
Yeah, I was saying earlier on, Dan, I saw Villa at Everton last week. They just look an unhappy team. I mean, Mark mentioned Ollie Watkins there, and he just didn't look his usual, you know, effervescent self. You looked at some of the other players, they just didn't look, whether it was unhappy or whether it was just maybe frustration, I don't know, but there's a big job there to do to turn it around.
I think some of it, I mean, it's too simplistic to say this, but confidence plays a part as well. Yeah. I mean, they haven't suddenly become, you know, a bad bunch of players, have they? I mean, they probably maybe they needed a bit more of a freshen up as well in the summer. That, you know, we all kind of know about Villa have had issues over FFP, and they were unable to do much business. But I mean, other teams have had a, you know, a similar sort of summer, and you know, without not brought a lot of new players in and still coping okay. I'm thinking of Fulham who are sort of doing okay, aren't they, without bringing a lot in. But I think with this one, I'm kind of a bit frightened is the wrong word, but I'm not convinced enough by Sunderland to kind of get behind them here. And I'm wary that Villa at some point are gonna like show a little bit more and show the quality. They've got better players than Sunderland. They're going to finish, I don't think anyone would disagree, they're going to finish higher than Sunderland in the table. It's just that the chronic lack of confidence is an issue at the moment. We mentioned Rogers. Actually, I thought that when he played for England, again, he was one of the best players on the pitch. He was superb in that game. But for Villa, he's not doing it at the moment. It's a real strange one. But I just think this is going to be a real tight game. Could go either way. Don't see many goals, though. Sunderland will probably be happy to take a point. I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals at 8-11. That looks a reasonable price to me.
Okay, well, five games down, five to go, and we're going to go to the Amex Stadium next for Brighton against Tottenham. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. The Seagulls 6-5 to claim the win, 2-1 Spurs, and the draw 27-10. And my instant reaction, Dan, when I looked at the odds, was quite surprised to see Tottenham as big as 2-1.
I was surprised as well. I was surprised about the draw no bet odds. It's a comfortably odds against, and that's where I'm going to go. Sometimes you need your instant reaction can be wrong. You need to look into things a little bit more and work out why the prices are where they are. But I just think that the price here is wrong. I think Spurs are probably more suited at the moment, the way they're being set up to playing away from home. They're very, very impressive against West Ham. Even before West Ham went down to 10 men, they were in complete control of that game. You could say that West Ham are a poor side, but then they've gone to Man City, you know, incredibly tough game, was superb in that match from start to finish. So away from home, and then you look at the PSG, even the Super Cup game, when they're kind of like the team on the back foot, they were very impressive for about 80 minutes of that game as well. So I just think that they'll then lovely and solid at the back at the moment with Van de Ven and Romero fit. It sounds strange to say this about Spurs, but they don't look like they're going to concede many goals. Got a lot of criticism for the 1-0 win over Villarreal. Villarreal didn't have a shot on target. Okay, Spurs only had one, but they got the job done against a good side. So I think they can follow that with a win. Brighton, at the moment, been a bit of a sketchy start to the season. The Bournemouth game, Bournemouth are a very good side, but Bournemouth were worthy winners. I thought maybe even more comfortable than the 2-1 score suggested. So I think Spurs have got better players in the areas that matter, in defence and in the attacking areas, and that will win in the game.
I was looking at some stats for this game earlier and looking at how Brentford had got on against Brighton recently, and Thomas Frank had only lost once in the last six games between Brentford and Brighton, which might be another indication of potential success for Spurs. Hard to work out where Brighton are at the moment, Mark. They beat City one week, they lose against Bournemouth the next. You know, they're both a difficult side to work out.
Well, I just think they're a little bit flawed in both boxes. They give up opportunities because of the way that they play. And, João Pedro leaving for Chelsea, I wouldn't be mad on their sort of forward options. I'm not talking about the wings, where we know they're very dangerous, but I just mean in terms of who's going to score the goals. And I actually thought they were poor against City for about an hour of that game until they were gifted a soft penalty. I was really unimpressed with Brighton, actually. I was more impressed with them at Everton in a game that they lost, which I thought they were unlucky to do so and quite wasteful. But I've got exactly the same bet down as Dan here. Tottenham draw, no bet. The market's basically saying that neutral venue, Brighton and Tottenham are sort of level ability. I'm not so sure about that. I think Spurs are probably the better side.
Right, an all London affair next, and it is West Ham against Crystal Palace on Saturday, a 3 o'clock kickoff. The Hammers, under severe pressure, and particularly Graham Potter at the moment, 15-8 to claim the victory, 11-8 Palace, and the draw is 5-2. Mark, is the ticking time bomb for Graham Potter about to go off at the moment? It's a little bit like the Ruben Amorim situation.
I think so, because the owners are under massive pressure. You know, the West Ham fans have not turned on Potter as much as they have the owners. And we normally know that when the owners get it in the neck, their reaction is to sack the manager, and hope that that does the trick. And I just think Potter's, he just looks lost, really, on the touchline, doesn't seem to know how to solve the issues. Just with Palace, obviously, Wharton and Saar haven't been playing. So if you're backing them at, what did you say, 11-8, without those two potentially, that wouldn't be for me, even though West Ham are in a shocking state. Where West Ham are absolutely terrible is set pieces. Six goals already conceded from them. And they were lucky it was only six, really, given that Tottenham could easily have had another one from a corner in the first half that was disallowed. And Lacroix, 16-1 to score in the game. He'd only got one goal for Palace last season. Season before, he got four for Wolfsburg. He's a big old boy, and I expect there'll be space for him to exploit whenever Palace do get set pieces.
I, for one, hoping you're right, Mark. He's in my fantasy league team, so fingers crossed in terms of that. Just watching the midweek action, by the way, if anybody hasn't seen it yet, Jean-Philippe Mateta missed an absolute sitter in the game against Millwall in the EFL Cup. They did go through, of course, Palace on penalties in the end, so it wasn't the end of the world. But, Palace still probably, Dan, coming to terms with not having Eze there. And as Mark said, having one or two players out missing, aside from that, also has an impact.
It does, yeah. I'm not so sure that the depth is really there, and that's could be even more of an issue later in the season. We talk about the injuries they've got at the moment, but with being involved in European competition, that injury list potentially could get longer. I think the two that are out that Mark mentions, well, they're big players for Palace. Wharton's quality midfield player, makes them tick, and Saar, I think, is been a real weapon for them, and often got overlooked because people would often talk about Mateta, talk about Eze, And I think Sarr's a big player for Palace, and he's a miss. So that I agree. I wouldn't be rushing to back Palace, even though West Ham in three of the four games, you know, and plus you think they lost in the EFL Cup, didn't they, as well, away to Wolves. So four or five games, West Ham have been absolutely dreadful. But I do think, because of the kind of lack of offensive weapons that Palace have got, apart from Mateta, I think West Ham may get themselves a point here. Going to go with the draw.
Hey, up next, it's to Molyneux. Also, a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday as Wolves play host to Leeds. Wolves 13-8 to claim their first victory of the season. Leeds 9-5 and the draw 11-5. I know from speaking to quite a few Leeds fans of late, Dan, that there's again murmurings in terms of whether Daniel Farker keeps his job. And I suppose it doesn't help that Nuno Espirito Santo's out there without a job at the moment. He's been linked with everybody left, right, and centre. You sense that this could be a big game for both teams?
It is, yeah. I think the expectations that maybe at Leeds are, I know they're a massive club, but they've got, 4 points from the first four games. I mean, that's not a shocking return. One of them games was away to Arsenal. Okay, they lost it 5-0, but it's not the easiest start on the fixture list. They've had Newcastle at home, probably played them at a good time, but, still got the draw. Beat Everton at home. Everton are not an easy team to beat. So, and the Fulham game, actually, you look at how they've played there. They've had double the amount of shots, double the touches in the opposition box, and they've lost the game 1-0. There is a bit of an issue, I think, with Leeds over. I'm not so sure about the manager, but I think there's maybe a little bit of a lack of killer instinct and quality at the top end of the pitch. It could be a problem as the season goes on. But you look at the prices initially and you think Wolves are a big price, but you've got no points so far. Created very little in the game against Newcastle, and you throw in as well that Strand Larsen, big doubts over whether he's going to be available as well. I think that's the big question mark for me. If he's not available, I'm kind of edging towards Leeds here. It's not a convincing selection, but I'm going to go for Leeds on the draw, no bet.
Mark, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here, but when you look at both squads and you look at the situations we're in at the moment, who would you rather be in charge of?
Wolves, I think. I like their midfield. They've got quality in that midfield. Strand Larsen has proven he can score goals in the Premier League. I know he's sort of injured, and that's an issue for them. But I look at that Leeds team, and it doesn't matter who the coach is. The coach can't score the goals, and I just really don't see anyone in that Leeds team that's going to get in towards double figures, really. There's a real lack of quality just right at the bit that makes a difference, really, in the Premier League is having that striker that can put, you can be defensively solid, you can be, compact in midfield and press well. If you just haven't got someone to score, then all that hard work invariably ends up being for nothing. And I do think that Wolves are a big price here. I mean, sort of some bookmakers like Wolves were not even favourites, or it was very much touch and go. And I just think at home, I'd have them, being favourites for the game, essentially. I thought they were decent. I know Dan said he didn't think they created much, but I thought Wolves were decent against Newcastle first 20, 25 minutes. And they were busy late on in the market. And I think that can... I think they'll stay up. Yeah, I still think Wolves will stay up. So they've got to win games like this. So I'm going to go for a Wolves win.
The penultimate game on the list this week is another Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. It's at Turf Moor, where Burnley, fresh from that last gasp defeat at the hands of Liverpool, play host to Nottingham Forest. I can tell you that Burnley are 12-5 to claim the victory. It's 6-5 Forest and 23-10 the draw. Mark, firstly, we haven't spoken to you since Ange Postecoglou was appointed at Nottingham Forest. What have you made of that?
Yeah, I think he'll be gone before the end of the season. I don't see it being a particularly great marriage, losing in the way that they did to Swansea in the League Cup. I'm not that surprised, really, that they've conceded the goals that they have already. It's what we do, mate. When you've got top level players like he's had at Celtic and at Tottenham, I think you can play the way that he wants to, and you can dominate games and win a fair amount of points, albeit last season he didn't with Spurs. But I think when you're with Forest and Nuno, such a team that was attention to detail, set pieces, like the spaces between kind of defence and midfield and forward, it's just really difficult to play through them. And I think to go, and not all of this is on Postecoglou, by the way, but when you go from like one way of playing to a complete new way of playing without a pre-season to try to work it out, I think it's going to be really difficult for Postecoglou to get his ideas and methods across. I mean, because like when Nuno's in charge, like the Forest players, we're all behind the ball, and they didn't do that much running, really. They were organised and compact, and all the things you associate with a Nuno team. Like Ange Postecoglou wants chaotic football. He wants the fullbacks, playing as number tens, and one holding midfielder. I mean, you look at the way Tottenham and say Bentancur just look so much more comfortable with somebody else alongside him in midfield. So, I mean, I'm not surprised he got the Forest job because. He seemed to have a good relationship with Marinakis, and that was an important part of the decision making. I'm just not sure how thorough they were in looking for a replacement. And I'd actually be surprised if he is still there in a year's time.
A day's game at Turf Moor, what are you thinking?
I've gone for the draw. Burnley, they've been close to a point at United, then at home to Liverpool. I'd have the same concerns for them as what I do Leeds about just scoring goals. And if Scott Parker plays fairly defensive, which I think he will, like have Forrest got the guile to open them up, I would have my doubts, I suppose. So I'll go for the draw.
Yeah, at this stage, Dan, Burnley look more likely to stay up than they did under Vincent Kompany, and this will be another good test for them.
Yeah, I think they've got a better chance. If you're solid at the back, you're always going to give yourself a chance. My worry for them is in attack. I'm not so sure they've got enough quality there. I mean, the Liverpool game's understandable. You're going to be sat in, but I'd still question at home. I mean, the red card came quite late in the game. They ended up with 19% possession. I think two touches in the opposition box. I mean, you've got to be. Even at home to Liverpool, I mean, Liverpool haven't been great, at the start of the season. I think you need to. I would like to see my team show a little bit more ambition at home. Anyway, I think at home to Forest, the crowd are going to be on at the players and the manager to be a bit more positive. And I think it might be the downfall, actually. I think Forest have got better players. I think Ange might be just a little bit more pragmatic. I could be wrong here, but certainly in the early stages at Forest than he was. For a lot of the time that he was at Spurs, he was pragmatic in the Europa League towards the end of last season with Spurs and the games against Frankfurt, Bodo Glimt, and the final. He played in a different way and lifted the trophy. So it's really important for him in his career that he makes a fist of this job. And I'm not so sure it'll be as kind of like. Just I'm going to play this way and that's it. So he did try and play that way in the cup game against Swansea, made 10 changes, tried to play that way. They got beat 3-2. I think they'll be a little bit more pragmatic at Burnley, and I think it'll get them the win. Forest to win for me.
The last game on the Premier League list this week is at Craven Cottage. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday night for Fulham against Brentford. Fulham evens to win the game, 14-5 Brentford and 5-2 the draw. Some decent signs from Brentford after that opening day defeat. And maybe Keith Andrews is just working things out well at the moment, Dan.
I think he's doing okay. Yeah, the Chelsea game was the one for me. Not just that they got the result, it was the way they played as well. The players were clearly playing for their manager. They were well organised. They posed a threat to Chelsea. You could argue they posed as much of a threat to Chelsea as anyone that's played against Chelsea so far this season. So there's some considering what they've lost in the attacking areas. You've got to give them a bit of credit for that, and I can see them. Based off of that, if I hadn't seen the Chelsea performance, I would have worried for him going to Fulham. But after that performance, and Fulham, as I said, mentioned earlier, weren't that great against Leeds, even though they've got the win, scored late on. I mean, they've only had five shots at home to Leeds. To me, that's a bit of a bit of a worry for me for Fulham, and they're a bit lacking in quality in attack. So I see a tight game. I think Brentford can pick a point up.
Well, he has the least Brazilian name of anybody, but Kevin did have a bit of an impact when he came on last week. I thought he looked pretty good, I have to say. We'll wait and see how he kind of fits into the Fulham ethos and their formation. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I think he should do a few more stepovers. He isn't doing enough of those, is he? No, he did look exciting. You know, Fulham fans, need somebody like that, I think, because the team, you know, Marco Silva, he has Fulham well organised, but you know they're fairly predictable in what they're trying to do, and he's somebody that looks like he can beat a player one on one, then cuts in onto that right foot and shoots or puts crosses in. For this game though, Derby Day, I'm going to go for the ever popular bet. I don't think anyone ever actually bets on this, but one or both teams not to score. So at least one team not to score in this game. I understand what Dan was saying about the way that Brentford played against Chelsea. I still don't think they're creating much from open play, and I have my doubts as to whether Fulham can break down if Brentford go there and are sort of solid like Leeds were last week.
That's the Premier League covered then for this week. Next up, it's your FPL update, and then we'll discuss all things EFL. Well, now here is Tom Hill to talk us through the players to consider on FPL Game Week 5.
We've now reached game week 5 in the Premier League, and it's going to be an interesting week from a fantasy perspective as Arsenal face Manchester City while Chelsea take on Manchester United. A lot of those squads will be made up of players in our teams from those four clubs. So let's take a look at the three best outfield players for the week ahead. In defence, our pick is Crystal Palace's Maxence Lacroix at £5 million. He's got 28 points in four game weeks so far, and he's picked up no fewer than 3 points in an individual week. His 44 defensive contributions have only been better by three players this season, and he should be able to pick up another clean sheet against strugglers West Ham. The Hammers have only scored one goal at home all season, and with Graham Potter under immense pressure, Palace may be able to take full advantage. The standout premium pick is Liverpool's Mohamed Salah at £14.5 million. He's our pick in midfield. He and his Reds teammates have a Merseyside derby to look forward to against Everton this weekend. Now, compared to last season, he has been a little bit underwhelming, but he has still scored twice and grabbed an assist. All of his contributions have come after 90 minutes, but he is the second most owned player in the game. If he goes big at home at Anfield and you don't have him, it is not going to be pretty. Everton have conceded an XGC of 6.2. It's the seventh worst in the Premier League, and Salah heads into the league after scoring in Liverpool's 3-2 win over Atletico Madrid in the Champions League on Wednesday. He's on pens, he routinely plays 90 minutes, and there's still time yet for him to go big for those loyal managers. Aston Villa's Ollie Watkins was a consideration for our forward against Sunderland, but the preference is for Chelsea's João Pedro at £7.8 million. The former Brighton man has 2 goals and 3 assists to his name this season, and he has 33 points already. He faces a vulnerable Manchester United defence this weekend, who have the fourth worst expected goals against of 6.9. Pedro's ability to play as a 9 and a 10 give him ability to pop up in different positions, so he's our selection for the forward this week.
Well, big thanks to Tom then for his input on the Fantasy Premier League this week. We're going to head to the EFL best bets now. And the big news of the day, or the week, I should say, in the EFL was Ruben Sellers' departure from Sheffield United. Still no point on the board for the Blades. Rock bottom of the table. And Chris Wilder returns to Sheffield United off the back of the sacking of Sellers. It's almost like they've had him on speed dial, Dan, waiting for him to come back.
Yeah, and look, you could argue the situation they're in. Why not bring someone back that at least knows, a lot of the players, and I'm sure we'll get a bit of a reaction. But what I would also say is they've not just changed a manager. They've brought a manager in, Ruben Sellers, that he favoured a possession based system, approach. A back four, they recruited for that as well. Let players go like Jack Robinson, that was like a mainstay in the back three. Last season, he went to Birmingham. They lost Ahmed Hodžić, and they've recruited players to play in a back four. And now Wilder's come back. While he's got a lot of the players from last season, he has got a squad that's balanced and been built to play with a back four. So it's not going to be I don't think as easy and as quick a fix as maybe Sheffield United are hoping for. And the game, I watched the game at Ipswich. They were absolutely dreadful. I mean, Godfrey, who's played at fullback, got absolutely rinsed by the of Jaden Philogene, who was outstanding for Ipswich. But there was, the Ipswich were just far, far superior. And people are going to be thinking, because of last season, can Wilder come back and can he get us into the promotion contention? I'll tell you what, the Championship is a tough, unforgiving league. His first, thing that he's going to need to do is to get him clear of, kind of where the relegation area is, because it's not an easy task that he's taking on there.
Oh, definitely not. And just to sort of back up Dan's thoughts about that, is that the Championship has gone back to its unpredictability in nature, you would say, this season so far. Last week, 10 games in the Championship on Saturday, one home win across there, and that was Stoke, who beat Birmingham by a goal to nil. So I think that probably tells you all you need to know about the Championship at the moment and where the teams are, although whether teams are starting to find their feet, we shall see this weekend. Dan, we'll go through, as we always do, with the best three bets of the weekend across the leagues, and we'll start off with your pick in the Championship. Who are we looking at here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ipswich to win away to Blackburn. I watched both of these teams actually last weekend. I go to Watford home games regular, so I watched Blackburn win at Watford. They were worthy winners, but what I would say is that Watford were changing their system from a 3-4. They were playing a couple of attackers, Vatter and Ndumbia, who don't play regular, and it just was a bit of a mess from Watford's point of view, and it kind of put it on a plate really for Blackburn, who did what they had to do and got a deserved win without really massively impressing me. Blackburn's other win, they won at Hull when Hull apparently had a massive illness problems going into that game. The other three games, including two home games, they've lost a lot to Blackburn, and now they're playing Ipswich side, who, while I was saying about Sheffield United being poor, Ipswich were superb. They've been kind of in the games before, had three draws and a defeat, but they've been creating a lot of chances, faring well on like the shot counts and that, and it kind of like clicked for them against Sheffield United. I think they'll kick on now, and shade of odds against to win at Ewood Park, I think it's good enough.
Okay, so Ipswich to win Blackburn is the Championship tip from Dan. Who are we looking at in League One then?
I'm going to go with the Northampton or draw double chance away to Wickham. They'll have, not a big distance between these sides. They'll have a decent travelling support, Northampton, but there's a lot more to the bet than that. Kevin Nolan has got them going. Northampton won their last three matches, including a very decent 1-0 win away to Leighton Orient. I think this is probably an easier task for them. Wickham are kind of going backwards since last season under Mike Dodds. He's changed the whole philosophy from a very pragmatic side last season. He didn't change it after he replaced Matt Bloomfield. This time, they're a very much possession-based team, but the players don't seem to be able to play that way. And they've only won one of their matches so far, had a defeat at Peterborough, which was really concerning, their last away game. And I just think they're going off here. They're around evens, shade of odds on. I just think the way they're playing Wickham with this new system, this new way of playing, they're way too short. Northampton in form, they can get at least a point.
Great. Northampton double chance then for Dan, our draw no bet, I should say. And we are going to look in League Two at who, Dan?
Yeah, I'm just going to go with Formbook on Bristol Rovers. Draw no bet away to Colchester. I was amazed. They're actually odds against here. Now, Bristol Rovers started slow after relegation. That's kind of understanding. They've had a big turnover of players as well. But they have recruited good players for the level, and they're getting on a run now. They've had four wins in a row under Darrell Clark. Colchester, I thought they would do okay this season. It's early days, but at the moment, they've only got one win. And the performance at Accrington, they lost 1-0 away to Accrington last week. And Danny Cowley was... he was as angry as I've seen him really after the game. Clearly, they didn't deserve anything out of the game. And when you then, the next game after that to play against an in-form Bristol Rovers, who, by the way, they haven't clicked yet, Bristol Rovers. They can play a lot better, but they have won four games in a row, and I think they'll win here at Colchester.
Just to say, Dan, I watched the second half of that Colchester-Accrington game, and the commentator said that they'd improved on the first half showing, and they were bad in the second half, so I don't know how terrible they were in the first half. And the goalkeeper went off injured as well, Macy.
So we're as dreadful as Danny Kelly was saying then.
So that is the thoughts then for Dan on the EFL this week and the selections. It's Mark's turn now, and Mark's got a bet builder, and it will be from the Merseyside Derby, Mark.
Yeah, so first two legs, Liverpool to win and under 3.5 goals. I'll sort of tackle them both really in the same stat that Everton have not scored on their last four trips to Anfield. And there is a mental block there, no doubt about that. And then the final leg is Dewsbury Hall to be carded. Got cards in each of his last three matches. And that's not kind of a randomness to that, because he's committing a lot of fouls. Already had 9 fouls given against him in the Premier League this season. And, you know, we know that the Merseyside derby is usually quite feisty too.
Okay, well, that's Mark's bet builder then for this week. We'll move straight on to the assist treble with a selection from each of us. And Dan, we'll start with your selection first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ipswich to win at Blackburn. I just think that they're kind of, that was their lift-off moment, I feel, for them. They were favourites still, funny enough, to win the league, even though they hadn't won any of their first four games. And they showed why in that game against Sheffield United. I think they'll follow up with a win at Blackburn.
Okay, a tip switch for Dan. Mark, who are you going for in the treble?
Yeah, in League One, Huddersfield to beat Burton. So I watched the first half of Huddersfield's defeat to Bradford last week when it shouldn't have been 3-0 at half-time and then the game's done. But other than that, you know, they've had a decent start to the season, Huddersfield, and this should be a much more suitable fixture against the Burton side. If you take out the win over the Liverpool kids in whatever the that trophy's called now, I've forgotten who sponsors it, but take that game out against the Academy. 4 straight defeats for Burton and 3 of those losses without scoring.
Okay, well, my selection is also going to be in League One, and I'm going to go with Stevenage to beat Exeter. There are 12 places and 7 points separating these two sides, and Stevenage look like a pretty solid bet at 5-6. Alex Revell's men are unbeaten in the last 3 games in all competitions, and they've won all 3 home league games so far this season. Exeter had a game in midweek as well when they lost 1-0 to Cardiff in the EFL Trophy. Stevenage had a free midweek, and they'll certainly be up for this, I would have thought, as they look to get closer to the top end of the table. So we're going with Stevenage, Ipswich and Huddersfield as the assist treble. And we'll conclude the show this week with the naps of the week from Dan and Mark. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chelsea to win away to Manchester United. I was worried about Chelsea at the start of the season, we're coming back from the Club World Cup, but they're unbeaten in the Premier League. It seemed to be getting a bit sharper with every match, and I just think they'll be too strong for United, who are going backwards at the moment.
Okay, it's Chelsea for Dan. Mark, who's your nap today?
Yeah, I think the nap is I need to actually have a nap, Warren. it's a long old week out here in Lisbon. One more night to go. I'm going to go for Wolves, draw no bet, around about 17-20 last time I looked, but I know they've started poorly in the Premier League. You can't sort of get away from that. But I think they should be sort of favourites at home to Leeds. And I look at Leeds' expected goals in their last 3 games, 0.2, 0.7, 0.8. The game they won was against Everton when they needed a fairly soft penalty to score. And I just don't see where the goals are coming from. And Wolves, I think that the signings they've made quite late in the window mean they're not quite as bad as what they looked a few weeks ago and will start to pick up from here on in.
Well, a big thanks to both Mark and Dan for their input on this week's assist show. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and drop us a comment as well on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Plenty to look forward to over the next week or so. There'll be a Ryder Cup sweet spot special ahead of the USA-Europe clash in New York. The punt team will return as well with their NFL tips on Wednesday. And next week's assist will be in the regular spot on Thursday. For now, though, enjoy your football this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.